I came up here today because I wanted to at least tell you some of the things I've learned from God. I've been saved since 1988. And for me not to tell you about some of the things I've learned, that's not godly. The things you've learned since you've been saved. We need you to tell us also. You know, I told you, brother, about the geese. You know, geese are one of God's creations. And, you know, when you see them flying for the south for the winter, you know, they go in a V so they're helping each other fly. You know, if one of them gets sick or can't make it and it has to go down, two of the geese take off and go with it. And they stay with it. They make sure that it's healthy. It either dies. They stay with it until it either dies or that it can get up and go again. You know, we're supposed to be that same way. That's just something I want to put on your minds, because this is something that we need to do. Because see, I'm going to charge you today. And when I say charge, I'm not talking about take out your credit card. When God said he charged you to do something, he gave you a commission. He said, this is what I want you to do. And I want you to know, I'm going to get to that, to my lesson in a minute. That's just something I wanted to say to you guys, first off. And I love you, and trust me, I pray for each and every one of you. I hope you're praying for me. I go through that phone book, and I pray for every family, every person that's in our courtyard. And I make sure I remember you. And I need you guys to do it also. I'm charging you all to pray for our families. Pray for the people around us. Okay? And brother, I'm going to answer a question that you said that wasn't answered when we went to that men's retreat too. About, remember when they asked, they came and they told us all the thing, all the giants. And they didn't tell us how to get over the giants. You know? So, I can make this a very short lesson, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm telling you now. I'm not. Now, my lesson is actually going to be in 1 Kings chapter 2, but I'm going to start off in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Men, do you know you have dominion? Do you know God? We don't have dominion. Like, you know, like dominion is like a kingship. It's like you have rule over. And the rule he gave Adam to start off with was naming things. And back then, names were different. When they named something, just to show you, like Abram, he changed his name to Abraham. Abram meant father. Abraham meant father of nations. When he changed Jacob's name, I'm just going to tell you the people that you might know. When he changed Jacob's name, Jacob meant deceiver, somebody that grabbed your heel. Someone that you know you're not supposed to trust. He changed his name to Israel. That means one that wrestles with God. You know, I want our names to change. Not just yours, because this is also preaching to me. And I want you to know, not only do you have dominion, but God gave you the dominion to tell the animals what their name were. He gave you dominion to be over your family. He gave you a dominion not just to be like the kings of the old where they, hey, get over here, do this, do this right now. God gave, when he named the animals, do you think Adam went out and said, hey, come here, lion, let me call you a lion? And I always wondered about the slug. I'm going, did he just pick him because he was late? I don't know. I don't think I want to be named a slug. Honestly. But he had the animals come to Adam. And he named them. God gave us this same power. We have power through him. Not through anything of our own. If we got to force it, God ain't in it. So men, I want you to get this. You have power. You have strength. You are what's going to... The only reason why Christ hasn't come this today, and I want you to know, he's coming soon. I'm looking for him. But he hasn't come because of us. We're his church. We're his people. He said he loves us. So I haven't even got to my lesson yet, so y'all just hold on. I'm coming. But I'm charging you today because this is something. Yeah. Here's the page. There it is. That when David died, I'm going to 1 Kings chapter 2. And we're going to go through verse 1 through 4. And men, I want you to take note of this. Because we don't tell our sons that we are men. How to be a man. Have you told your son? Don't answer. Have you told your son how to be a man? Have you? Matter of fact, nowadays you have to tell girls how to be girls. When I became 17, I said, Dad, you know, you going to tell me about being a man? My dad said, oh, you already won. What? And you know, now I said this in my mind because you couldn't say this to your dad. I'm going, oh, well, we in big trouble. Because I wasn't ready. Because not only when you become a man, you're supposed to be a leader. And I didn't want people to follow me because I was going the wrong direction and I knew it. When you're a leader, when you look back behind you, somebody's following you. That's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be the one that's bringing people to them. You're supposed to be the ones that's blessing your sons. David does this here to Solomon when he became king. When you read the Old Testament, I love the Old Testament, and I want you, before I even go there, let me tell you the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In case you didn't know, I don't know if any of you have all read through the whole Bible, but I do it every day. Since 1988, the Old Testament is telling you how man sees what God says to him. Remember, Jesus said, I'm not changing the word. It changed the perspective. The New Testament is what God telling you what I said. This is how we do it. You know, the first thing, you always heard that Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know that's in the Old Testament? That was part of their law. It said you're supposed to accept the strangers that come into your house, into your village, to your house. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to tell them about God when they come. But we're like, you know, when we read the New Testament, they were saying, hey, you Gentiles, get away from us. Back up. You're filthy, you're no good. You know, you stop and you think, are we doing that to people? Because most of them say, when they hear that you're a Christian, they go, oh, he's going to talk about me. He's going to say, I'm not good enough. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to help lift them up. Now, let me go ahead and read this, because otherwise I can talk all day. Now, the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, now, you know, he said he charged him. He said, this is going to be your responsibility. And I'm charging you all with the same responsibility. He says, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And I just told you, a lot of men don't even know what it is to be a man. And after this, he explains to him what a man is. He says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways. And that charge is different from the charge where he was ordering them. He said, this is the way you go and you keep his word. It says, keep the way of the keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turneth thyself. You know, I'm going to stop there. These are the things that we have to know. We have to do. You know, even when you're told in the New Testament, you're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. This is what that armor is. Good idea. I probably need to cut my phone off too. How many of you know his, let me go back here. Know his, how to keep his statutes? What are statutes? Do you know his statutes? His statutes are given, the things that he gives you, the things that he does. He is a God of joy, of peace. Matter of fact, I don't even want to say it. Let me go here and show you in Exodus. I had to go through the Bible with my mind to get that right. That's scary. In Exodus chapter 12. No, no, it's not. Ah, look at this wrong thing. 34. In Exodus 34. Verses 5 through 7. Let me give you a little background on this before I read it. I need to cut my phone off first, so give me just 1 second. Sorry. Something I was supposed to do. Now, this is where Moses has been talking to God. And I'm going to tell you something. Moses is somebody I truly respect. I'm scared of him because he's tough. You think about it. It took him 40 years, first of all, to even become... He thought, he said, I can go out here and I can take Israel. I'm the chosen one. He killed the Egyptian. And he ran. For 40 years, he was out there. He was raising sheep. He went from prince to sheep herder. He had to become humble doing this. Think about it. He had servants. Now he's out there watching sheep. Hey, get over here, sheep. Come back here. Sheep are not too smart. And Jesus, God calls us sheep, so you know what we're in here. But he saw a burning bush. I want you to know that burning bush was Jesus. He said, when you come up in here, hey, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off. He said, I want you to go talk to my people. I can't talk. I said, I made your tongue. I made your mouth. He said, your brother, who just happened to be coming across that, think about that, happened to be coming across the desert to see him. God doesn't play. God doesn't make, there are no mistakes. There are no coincidences. God plans it. It happens. He knew what Moses was going to say. So, you know, and Moses goes and he does the 10 plagues. He brings the people out of Egypt. He opens the Red Sea. I'm going, wow. This is a mighty God. The people get across the Egyptians. And I want you to know, later on I'm going to tell you, Pharaoh was one of those people that are not a man. Let me get to tell you the difference between a man and a fool in a little bit. Just because you are male does not make you a man. But Moses, after he sees the things God does, he does it. He said, God, let me see your glory. God said, if you see my glory, he said, no man can live and see my glory. Is this a question you're going to ask God? Let me see your glory. I'm crazy enough to say, yes, I asked. Because I want to know him. That's why I read his word. And then this, he tells him what his glory is. Verse 5. It said, and the Lord descended in the cloud. And he stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. This is his glory. This is who the Lord is. Lord our God. Said the Lord passed by him and before him proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquities of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generations. This is our God. This is who he is. Are you able to tell your children who he is? Are you able? Because let me tell you something. I had four kids. I got grandkids. Oh, where'd God come from? Why do you believe that? You can't tell them because I said so. You have to show them. This is what God said. This is who he is. In a couple of verses down, he said, and don't go after idols because my name is jealous. Idols can be TVs, cars. It can be anything that takes your eyes off of God. These are the things that we're supposed to figure out, we're supposed to do, just because these are the things God does. These are the things he wants to do. He said, you're holy because I am holy. We're not holy. He's not holy because we're holy. He passes that over to us. It says you're supposed to keep. Let me go back. Those are like his statutes. Those are what he's about. That's what God is. He said, keep his commandments. We think of it as the Ten Commandments. That was the first ten. That was not all of them. I'm reading through Leviticus. Every time I read a different book, that's like my favorite book that month until I'm through. Because it tells you stuff. It just wipes me out. It goes, Lord, whoo. Oh, so you said that. Like when I told you that about Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. It's in Leviticus. He said that. That's what God said before Jesus said it to us. Even though we take it that only Jesus said that. We didn't have that before. That's because people forgot it. We can't afford to forget it. It says his commandments. You think of the Ten Commandments. Okay, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands. How many of you in here actually know the first Ten Commandments? I do. I hope you guys learn it. If you don't. And let me tell you something. It's not that the Ten Commandments are going to make you righteous. You know, the first one is love God. Second one is not to have idols. No graven images. The idols don't have to be graven anymore. Do not take my name in vain. Keep the Sabbath. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. You know what? In the New Testament, it says those count against you. If you think you can keep all of them, first of all, I lied. I have stolen. Okay, I committed adultery before I was even married. Every one of those I have gone against. I curse God. I used to be scared of using the name in vain, but I probably did it. You know what? Excuse me, gentlemen. I couldn't even say G's. G when I was coming up because they told me that was cursing God. That's his name. Do you have that type of reverence? You say, okay, maybe I can do most of them. I can't do any of them. But see, when I got that thing where Jesus came and he said, I save you. He said, if you will believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth, I will save you. He didn't say, I think about saving you. I might give you a little chance. I might even give you a little bit of the hookup. He said, no, I will save you. I shall. So when you do this, when you read his commandments and you figure out what they say, God said, those count against you. Those are supposed to be your teachers. And from then on, when you, instead of now, you know, I keep the Ten Commandments, not because I stop and say, oh, let me do it. I love him. I love Jesus. I love God. Man, we have to change it to where we love him so much that the commandments come to us and we do them because we love them. You know, y'all had parents. Everybody doesn't have, you know, I don't know if you have one or two or whatever. But let me ask you, when your parents said, dude, oh, you did a great job. You know, you'd be going, yeah. You know, your head get big. You start saying, yeah, ooh, I like that. Jesus likes that. You guys, I don't know if y'all sing songs during the day, during the week. Some of you say, I can't sing. My dad said that, but he would sing. He said he couldn't hold a tune in a bucket because it had a hole in it. But we sang. As a family, we sang. Matter of fact, we were supposed to sing before we did this. I like trust and obey. I wish I knew all the words to obedience is. Because those are the things that we need. You know, a man told me, he said, oh yeah, some of those songs are for kids. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves me. I need that just as much now as when I was a kid. Obedience is. I need that as much now. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about when I say these songs. Some of you came up in Sunday school. Some of you didn't. But these songs, they praise God. God loves praise. I love to praise him. If you don't like the way I sing, I don't care. God loves it. Amen. It's not about you. It's not about me. He says you're supposed to keep his commands, but you're supposed to know him. How do you know him if you don't read this book? I love, in the New Testament, there were Berean Christians where Paul, when he was going out, and he was telling people, this was like on his, second missionary journey? He went to Berea, and he told them, yeah, Jesus is God. They said, okay, hold on. We'll be right back. Oh, what he said is true. See, it can't be what we just say. It's got to be come from God. I ask the Lord not to let it be anything about me that's coming out to tell you all about him today. This is him. You know, he's charging you to keep these things, to do these things. Not just today, not just when you walk away and you get in your car, but through the week. Through your life. Through your family's life. Your family is following you. Like I told you, you got that dominion. And whether you know it or not, they're watching you. They're watching. I saw my dad change. My dad, I thought he was a good man all my life. My dad, I heard him curse when he hit his hand with the nail and hammer. He worked construction. But it wasn't like my uncles. It was like, nasty, nasty, nasty. Word, word, word. So trust me, I know how to use them. And I don't want to, ever, again. Sometimes God doesn't let me get away with it. He said, Lord, every time I mess up, Lord, forgive me. But you have to have that love for him. And then, you know, it says his judgments. You remember, like I said that about Egypt? He gave them the 10 plagues. That was his judgment on them. And not only did he judge them, but he said, you know what? I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so he can have another one. You know, I'm going, okay, blood. You know, the kids mess with me in church. They said, well, could they drink orange juice? I'm going, yeah, I guess so. Now, how about some grape juice? Oh, okay. But they couldn't drink water. And I said, you can't live without water. It was for a week. They had flies. They had frogs. They had lice. They had fire where water, where it rained, it held ice and fire. They had locusts. The thing that scared me before the big one, you know, the big one is Passover, was he said there was darkness that you felt. I don't know if you ever felt darkness, but I was in the Navy. You go out, you put your hand up like this, you don't see it. It's not there. You can do like this, and you say, oh, I still don't see my hand. Going, yeah, okay. I'm out here on water. I can fall down for this. And the people that don't fear God, they said, I've heard some people say, you know, well, I don't fear God. I have a reverence for him. I got fear. Okay, I want you to know, I got absolute fear. I know he loves me. But when you read his word, you think about what he just did. He sent the angel of death in Egypt and said, your oldest son, he's going to die because you wouldn't do what I said. When Pharaoh brought his army, he held them off until they got into the middle of the Red Sea. And then he said, and if you don't think it's his people also, you think about the ones that when Moses went up on the hill, on the mountain, he came back. He had the Ten Commandments. They were not doing what God said. They had made an idol. I think it was like 10,000 people died that day. And it wasn't just by God. God told the Levites, told Moses to get the Levites, and they went out there and they killed them. Can you imagine killing your cousin, your brothers, your friends? When, now I'm sorry, this was just some extra stuff I'm throwing in here. But when Aaron's sons, his two oldest sons, God told him, make a certain type of incense. That's all, we make this, we're going to do this, this will smell better. God opened up the ground and their families, not just them. So man, this is why I keep telling you, you are the leaders. He didn't just take it out on them. Their whole families were swallowed up by the ground. So if you don't have a fear of them, I want you to know there are more things that he did than that. These are just a few of the things. And if you don't think he can do it today, wrong answer. My God is real. And he does not play. Let me go on back to this for a minute. Because now we're going to say about his testimonies. Now, most of you, we all have a testimony. But these are not just talking about your testimony. These are talking about testimonies in the Bible. You have heroes in the Bible? I got heroes. My dad was my hero. He got saved when I was 17. Messed me up because I was going to be like him. All of a sudden, he started going to church. I'm going, wow, I want to. Because 18, they would say, oh, you can do what you want. 18, I was going to hang with Dad. All of a sudden, Dad ain't there. I wasn't going to go to church. But God is good because he brought me back. It took a long time, but he brought me back. Some of you may not have grew up in church. I had no choice. You know, it was, me and my sister were just talking about that. It was no choice. I missed 3 days of church from the age of 1 to 17. I had the chicken pox, I had the measles, and I had, I think it was the mumps. Three reasons. That's the three times I missed church. I'm like, oh, boy, get up. You ain't got no fever. And there was no thing about going to church saying, I don't feel like going to Sunday school. You might think that in your mind. But my parents didn't play that. My dad, even though he didn't go to church, he was the enforcer. My mom could spank me. I'd make her laugh and she'd hit herself. My dad was like, boy, come here. Stand still. Give me your arm. He only hit me about three times, but it was worse than my mom hitting me 50. Because it'd be like, whoop. Every time, he was a construction worker. I worked with my dad. He would put like 2 80-pound bags of plaster on his shoulder and walk up to the third floor. Now, you had to walk up to the first floor. I'd be dragging to him. But he backed him up. I knew it was back up. There was no talking back. You know, like me and my sisters, we always laugh and say, yeah, I thought that to myself. Because that's all you could do. Now, this is God's word. We need to have this. I go through it, like I say, every year. Pastor, I know he did the thing where they do it. I can't do it 1 year. I'm sorry. Because I might want to read this chapter 5, 6 times. Ooh, God, that was good. Ooh, let me read that one more time. You got to love God like that when you read his word. He has his testaments. Oh, man, you know what? There's one that I love. There's a bunch of them I love. But how many of you know of Jehoshaphat? Anybody know Jehoshaphat? Oh, man. This man... It said the Amorites, the Moabites, and some other countries were coming out against them. And Jehoshaphat is the king of Israel. If you want to read about it, it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 20. It said it's a great host coming. Somebody came and they told him, said, yeah, they're coming to get you. And you know what he did? He told him, come on, we're going to get in sackcloth and we're going to pray to God. We're going to pray. And I'm going, wow, this is a man. Half the time, we don't think to pray first. Oh, let me do this. And oh, man, that was messed up. On everything we do, we need to pray first. But what happened was the Amorites came. It said they had a great number. They didn't even say how many. But Israel didn't have a chance. And he said, pray. He prayed. He said, God, save us. Help us. We need this time. Everybody, pray. He said, they're out there. He said, I want you to go out there in the morning. Face your enemies. Great number. Soldiers. Out to kill them. Jehoshaphat goes out and he said, hey, y'all, come on, we're going to go out here and say, and we're going to sing praises to God as we go out here. You know, I don't know if it was when the saints come rolling in or marching in, or I have no idea what they sang. I don't know if he sang one of the psalms that David wrote. But they went out there and they were singing psalms. They were singing praises to God. And you know what happened? As soon as they started singing, army started fighting themselves, killing them. By the time they got out there, everybody was dead. Nobody survived. Man, you got that power. Not even yourself, but through him. He said he will never leave you or forsake you. This is why you need to know his word. This is one of his testimonies. And one of them, it tells you, oh man, I think it's Isaiah 35, and I can't go to it because it's a long verse, and I would love to keep in there because this goes, wow. It tells you that he's sending somebody. It's going to be a bridge. It's going to be a highway to bring you to heaven. It's going to cause the blind to see, the lame to jump up. Didn't say walk. It said leap up. These are the things that we're supposed to know. And it was Jesus. He's the highway. It says it's going to bring you to heaven. So if you want to check that out, that's Isaiah 35. See, I did a lot of studying for this, and I was going, wow, what I got is too much to bring. I can't do this at one time. God is so great. You know, at the end of, the book of John? And he said, and there was so much more that I couldn't even put it all in a book. And you think of his testimony. Remember they was talking about David and how he went out and he slew the giant. And he said, they were telling us that we went to a men's retreat. And it said, you got giants in your life, your bills, your car note, your wife, your children. Any of them can be it because, you know, your child won't go to school. Your wife's an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic. Drugs. All of these are giants in our lives. Idols. I can't quit watching the TV. I can't quit playing games. I don't want to go to work. My boss is too mean. We got all sorts of things that are giants in our lives. And they told you about the giants. But you see, in Genesis, let me look back here and see where this is. Genesis chapter 18. I'm just going to tell you. In 17 and 18, this is where God told Abraham. First he told him in 17, you want me to tell you the verses? Because I see you looking. In 17, 16 and 17, God tells Abraham, you're going to have a son by Sarah. And you know what Abraham did? He laughed. You joking? Don't come with. Come on, God. You can't be pulling my leg now. I mean, I can see you talking. Yeah, right. I'm almost 100. Yeah, think about this. And God said, you're going to name him Isaac. He comes and he tells him again. In chapter 18. And Sarah's in the tent and she hears it. God, he's a big joker. Abraham's 100, I'm going to be 90. I'm past childbearing age. God told Sarah, he said, Sarah, why'd you laugh? And you know, she's smart enough to know, oh, Lord, wait a minute. She ain't too smart because she said, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did. He said, is there anything too hard for God? Anything. I had that written in one of my Bibles. My Bibles tear up because I read them a lot. My wife wouldn't let me bring my old Bibles. She tossed them when I was gone. And I had in big letters, is there anything too big for God? Anything. I lost my job. I was home in time. That time I got to take care of my granddaughter. Got another job. I lost my wife. Let me tell you something. That was big with me. Pastor was saying, yeah, she was the center of everything. Yeah, she was the center of my life. Okay? She was the one that I let shine. I can shine. Don't get me wrong. But my friend said, you know, I noticed that, you know, when you're with your wife, you just be quiet. I said, I don't have to say nothing. She's taking care of it. She got it. We had the same sense of humor. We would laugh at stuff. She was the one that I could go home and tell stuff to. We would laugh. These are the things that God gave you. And I think I'm back as these were gifts. I've been blessed. He got me through it. I still have a little problem sometimes thinking about her. But God said, is this too big for me? When she died, I didn't say, God, why? I said, look, Lord, What you want me to do? She was yours anyway. You love her more than I did. You know, we have to have the right perspective. We're the meal. We got to be the leaders. People at church ask me, what are you? You're still here. Where am I going to go? I was like, Peter, come on. Where else am I going to turn? God is my Savior. He's my deliverer. He's my fortress. He's my help in time of need. He's the water, the living water. He's the bread of life. All these things and more. Where else are you going to go? Men, we need this. We need you to lead your family this way. And you don't know all of his word unless you read all of it. A lot of us, we get the sermons on Sunday. I don't know about you. I get the sermon on Sunday. But sometimes, Pastor, on Monday, I forgot what you preached. Forgive me. But I keep reading. Matter of fact, if I forget it, I write down where you preached, what you preached down of. And I go back, oh yeah, that's what he said. It takes a lot to do that. You know, you say, I don't have time to read. You know, I tried reading at night before I go to bed. I do that now. But when I first tried it, it was like, oh, in the beginning, God said. My grandmother told me before I was ever saved, she told me, she said, read his word, all of it. I used to say I never got to Moses. Shoot. I never got to, I never got to Noah. I never got there. I'd read and he'd say, yeah, okay, God created and he did this, he did that, he made everything. I never even got the idea that we had dominion. I never got that. Once I started reading his word, you know, Satan took our dominion. We let him have it. He got it for free. But men, we got to take it back. We got to know his word. We got to do it. You know, it says put on the full armor of God. This is the armor of God. All of it. His word that said was the sword. You know, where do you get your faith from? That's your shield. If you take away what it says, like it says the shield of shoes, the shoes of peace, or the boots, whatever you want to call them. You got the girdle, you got all these different things. The helmet of salvation. Where do you learn about any of those things other than in his word? You can't walk out on the street and get this. You can't get the idea that he is larger than everything. Right now, when you go out here and you talk to people, they'll be going, they're lost. I came from an amoeba. I ain't come from no amoeba. I want to tell them that. How did you come from an amoeba? Baby, I said, shoot. I said, well, how come another one hasn't come up? Think about it. It's been mentioned that, oh, you know, the earth was created millions of years ago. And we evolved. We don't evolve like that. We evolve in our minds. I mean, think about it. You got an animal at home that likes to go to the opera? Likes your music? You turn on the music, they just go, okay. I got a dog. He be going, that's what he listened to. He doesn't have the choices we have. He's not made in God's image. We are. He doesn't have dominion. We do. I would love to hear my dog sing. That would be like, I'd be a millionaire, y'all. Because I'd put him on TV. Tell him, sing, baby. Go ahead. Oh, when the saints are. Yeah, come on. We are made special by God. We have intellect. You know any dog that can get up and write? They said the monkeys could probably write, right? They put them in there with a typewriter. They got A. the letter A accidentally together by itself. They couldn't make a word. We're the only ones that have written language. Different languages that we can talk to each other in. We are special. God said you are wonderfully. Fearfully and wonderfully. Okay, I knew I was missing one of them. And wonderfully made. God made it. Everything else just came out the dirt and went. God said, hey, I'm going to make him like us. I'm challenging you to be a man. Now, I wanted to tell you something. I'm going to tell you some of the things. Anyway, do I have the time? Yeah. When it tells you these things, how many of you have ever read the Psalms? You read the first Psalm? First part tells you about being what a man is. The second verse says, you meditate on his word day and night. How do you meditate on his word if you're not reading it? What'd you say? Let me see. Let's see, God's word, what did it say? I forgot. That's what you do if you're not reading his word. That's what happens to you. And you know what? If you miss a day, so what? Read it the next day. If you miss 2 days, God is not going anywhere. He's not going to leave you. He said he opens doors and he closes doors. And when you think of that, do you ever think of Noah? He told Noah, make an ark. For 150 years, I love what Noah had. He said, it's going to rain. That was what he preached. He told him, it's going to do what? Yeah, right. Get out of Dodge. It's going to rain. 150 years. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. I'm going to have to walk. They're going, oh, man, I can't take this no more. Man, could you leave us alone? It's going to rain. So look at this fool. He's building a big old boat. And I can't imagine when the animals walked up on in there. People going, oh, look at this. What? What's going on here? When it rained, it said God closed the door. It didn't say Noah closed the door. It said God closed the door. Man, if you don't read his word, he can close the door on you. He can close the door on me. I refuse to let him close the door on me. Because he says, if you are seeking my word, if you're looking for me, if you're searching for me, and you mean it, hey, I'm going to reveal myself to you. Those are my words. That's not the way he said it in the Bible. I want you to know. But when you read it, and he also, not only does he do this, but he tells you, his testimony tells you about the devil. In Job chapter 1, the angels came up and Satan came up in there too. He was one of the angels. He said, where have you been? He said, he's been roaming to and fro throughout the earth. That's coming. That's not what he said then, but he said, you know, God, I'm trying to see who's not going to. He said, these folks don't really love you. They don't want to do it. He said, what about my man Job? He will keep my word. He said, you gave him a big family. He's got cattle. He got sheep. He got camels. You know, God, you just been blessing this man. I said, okay. Now, is this going to be you? Are you going to be a Job? Well, God says, he brags on you. Be careful. Be scared. Hey, Lord, you can take whatever I got because there's nothing here. Mine. Job, when they took everything, they took his family, took his kids, left his wife. He took his sheep, his cows, his camels, all his riches. His wife said, curse God. And die. He said, woman, don't be no fool. He said it a little differently. He said, Naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to go out. God be the glory. He's my God. That's my God. Are you willing to do this for him? You know what? And then he had boils. He had three friends that came to talk to him. Man, you messed up because God did this to you. Don't you be one of those type of friends. When you go to, if you see someone down, we're supposed to edify each other. That means build them up, lift them up. Like I told you about those geese in the beginning. We don't put them down. They came and they put them down. You did something wrong. God had to come and talk to him because finally, you think about it, he went through all this and finally he says, oh God. God came down and spoke to him. He said, were you here when I made the mountains? When I made the ocean? When I made everything here? Were you here to tell me how to do it? Were you? No. And all of a sudden, he said, God, hey, forgive me. One of the biggest things that we as men have is our pride where we don't want to ask forgiveness. When I do something wrong, first thing I do is, Lord, forgive me. So what, that lady cut me off? I'm alive. So what, they driving slow? I'm alive. So what, they laughed at me because I told them about Christ? So what, I'm alive. In other countries, they're killing people because they talk about Christ. They're torturing them. But they're still standing up. They're men. This is what I'm charging you with. Because, you know, who was that? Said we're supposed to be courageous. Someone said that this morning when we were talking. I forgot who, so it might have been you, Nate. I don't know. But these are the things we're supposed to do. These are the things we're supposed to be. We're men. And you know, Jesus was tempted by Satan. And just to let you know, Peter also said that about Satan. He said he's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And I want you to know something. The big word in there is may. I don't know if you all came up, and you like we were talking about Hooked on Phonics. But when I was growing up, you were taught the difference between can and may. Can means you have the ability to do it. May means you're asking permission to do it. No, I couldn't just say, can I go outside? What did you say? Oh, may I go outside? I can jump over that ball. I can jump over the difference. It says, devil is seeking whom he may devour. And when you read the next part, it says, but you're supposed to be strong. That's why you put on the whole armor of God. If you're looking for it, it's in first. Oh, thank you. I knew it. And then it also says, after you do all these things, when you start learning about this, when you start doing it, it says, you know what, you're not only supposed to know his word, but you're supposed to grow. Peter also says in 2 Peter chapter 3, the last verse, it says to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You don't grow if you don't read his word. You can't. Are you going to be stuck on milk? When you first got saved, are you still doing the same stuff you were doing then? In 2 John, which I love to read because it just messed me up because I'd be trying, I don't want to be a boy, I want to be a man. I'm old, I got to be a man, I ain't got a choice. Not only am I old, but I'm older than the Lord. So, let me see, if you all would turn to 1 John chapter 2. If I'm holding you up, let me know. I'll try and tone it down a bit. Oh, I didn't even write it on that one. It's on this one. It says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, ye have an advocate, the Father, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. See, we're already talking about keeping his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Like I said before, how are you going to know his commandments if you don't read them? But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God. Perfected. I'm sorry, I didn't finish that. It says, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So it's telling us we got to walk like Jesus. Now, as it goes on through this verse, he starts calling them little children. He tells you who the little children are. Are you still the little child? I'm going to skip a couple because we're going to... I like the whole chapter. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because it's telling me the same thing I'm trying to tell you. But it also says to grow. Okay, I've written to the fathers. And as I write to you. Okay, chapter, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you. Hey, check it out. Are you just where I accepted Jesus Christ? And you've been saved for 10 years? For 20 years? 60 years, I heard that. But some people, that's where they stay. You can't stay there. You read his word because you're supposed to grow. He says, the fathers, you've known me from the beginning because they have a knowledge of God. They have read his word. They do his word. Young men, you have overcome the wicked one. How do you overcome the wicked one? It means they went from the childhood to coming up to where they're fighting them. When you read God's word, there are two things that always blows me away. In the Old Testament, God likes to say, I am the Lord thy God. Lord means he is in control. He is the master. It's like, I am the boss. God, I am the creator. You know, and I'm going to tell you guys something. Pastor always says, hallelujah. I'm the only one that say hallelujah back to him. But I learned from Brother Mike what hallelujah meant. I used to want to use that word. How many of you know what hallelujah means? It means praise the Lord for he is God. And you're supposed to respond back. When a brother says that to you, you're supposed to hallelujah back. When pastor's preaching, he said hallelujah. It should be a loud choir of us because we're praising God back. Praise the Lord for he is God. That's what hallelujah means. I was so excited when I read that, Nick. That, you remember when we were taking Hebrew? I was fixing to mess it up really bad. But Hebrew, man, when I saw that, I was going, praise the Lord, I can tell somebody what it is now. Nobody ever told me. You're not getting away because I'm telling you. That is a great praise to God. He loves it. That's right. And I'm going to tell you another thing that gets me. I was a great football fan, a basketball fan, a baseball fan. And let me tell you, my family used to, Dad, could you sit down? I'm in. Yeah, did you back? My mama used to be the same way about wrestling. Tell her, turn and flip, baby. We sit in the pews and we sit there and go, you go to a baseball game with one of y'all, hey, come on, let's go get up, man. I am excited about the Lord. You need to be. This is a mighty work that he's done in us. He saved us. You know, y'all might have been a little sinners. I wasn't. I shook my fist at God. Because he took my grandma. My life changed. I failed the next grade. I did drugs, alcohol, chased women. Okay, caught some women. That ain't funny because I wish I hadn't. You know, it sounds funny, but that's the way God is. When I got saved, it changed everything. I talked to a young brother. He was talking about, yeah, you know, I was doing drugs. I was doing this. And I was remembering, ooh, I used to do that. I used to do this. Ooh. And it was getting to the point where we were talking too much. But I said, ooh, I got to get away from this for a minute. Because it's bringing back all the old bad memories. I don't need those memories. I want the memories of, I got saved. Jesus is keeping me day by day. You know, some of the songs that I was talking about, you need to know them. I had a song, I couldn't even remember the whole, I couldn't even know the name of it. But every day, when I go, I work downtown, women wear very little, especially in the summer. They wear very, I mean, in the winter, they wear very little. But in the summer, they wear less. You know, I used to have to go down there and say, oh, let me see if I can remember how the song goes now. Now, I'd sing Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me as I go. There's a song that I forget how it goes, but it used to say, walking along, singing my song, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Do you guys know these songs? Have you heard of them? Have you ever sang them by yourself? Just a closer walk today. And I still haven't got the one I was trying to remember. I can't remember it now. That's a shame. But when I was, these songs that I learned in Sunday school, when I was in trouble and I'm going, ooh, I'm looking the wrong way, Lord, help me. He'd bring me a song to sing. And I start thinking about Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his glorious face. That's the way we have to get out of it. We are men. We have weaknesses. But we also got the greatest strength there is in the world. We got Jesus. And I want you to know, Jesus was also tempted by the devil. And it blew me away because after you read it a couple times, like it's in Matthew and it's in Luke. But it says right after Jesus got baptized, he had to tell John to baptize him. And God sent down the Holy Spirit upon him. Came down like a dove from out the sky. And God's word came out. This is my beloved son. And it said, then the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I thought about that. He was out with the Spirit for 40 days and 40 nights. They were talking together. They were communing. Have you ever took 40 days and talked to God? Have you ever took 40 days and just say, I'm going to sit here and read my word? He didn't just do it in the morning. He did it in the day and the night. Then Satan came. Oh, you hungry? Hey, change these stones to bread. What did God use? What did Jesus use to fight off the Satan, off the devil? He used scripture. He did it in Deuteronomy. I was going to take you out to Deuteronomy also, because do you also know, but he did it on every one of them. Everything. He took them up to the pinnacle, said, if you drop off, said the angels will catch you. Said, y'all shall not tempt God. On the one about the bread, he said, man shall not eat by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. Where's his mouth? Where's his mouth? Right there. Right here. This is his mouth. This is how he talks to us. This is a love letter. And it's for you. It's for me. And then the last one, he said, you know what? Well, you know, why don't you just bow down to me? And if you don't think Satan is doing, trying to do these to you, and he doesn't quit. God doesn't let, you have to have this to stand up. I don't know, how much time do I have left? Oh, don't mess with me then. I wanted to take you to Psalms 1, where he tells you, you know, I used to know the whole chapter. I don't that whole chapter. Now I can't remember the first verse. All right. He tells you you're not supposed to walk in the ungodly. You're not supposed to sit in this with the scorners. Instead, with sinners. And then he tells you, you meditate day and night. Do you realize God, the books of wisdom are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Do you realize, I love the first chapter of Proverbs. He tells you that, oh, let me read that. That's just too good for me to mess up. Man, this is where I started when I got saved. I knew just enough to know the books of wisdom. My granddaughter, she'd be messing with me because she said, I tried to get her to read this. And like when we go to Sunday school, she said, Dad, you know the answer. Go ahead, say it. And I sit there and I said, no, let somebody else. Because sometimes I can be wrong. Because we have different perspectives. But in this one it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the word of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Man, this is talking to you. It's talking to me. If you don't know the books of the Bible, you need to learn them. Because in each one, God gives you silver. He gives you gold. He gives you stuff that's better than silver and gold. He said you're supposed to search his word. Matter of fact, on down in this, he said, look for wisdom. Wisdom's out there calling your name. But if you're not asking for it, you don't get it. And God says, in your calamity, he's going to laugh because you didn't want to pay attention to him. In my calamity, I know he laughed. Not when I lost my wife, but when I lost my dad, when I lost my grandmother. I didn't know him. I lost my, my mom I knew, so it had changed. I lost my best friend on the same week that my dad died. My dad, we buried him on Monday. Guy I knew since I was 5 years old. We buried him on Friday. He OD'd. He OD'd that Monday morning. His parents was at my father's funeral. And I wasn't a help to him. I saved his life one time because he was trying to kill himself in the car. You know, he had started the car in the garage, and I heard it. I was an alley man. I walked down the alley. I used to be proud of that. But I heard his car, and I went in, I broke in the door and pulled him out. I went to AA meeting with him. This is my friend. Unfortunately, I wasn't saved. So after we went to the AA meeting, I went and got a bottle of beer. You want some? I wasn't helping him. cause my friend to OD. So you got to realize what you're doing. That's why you need to know his word. To know how to do it. It's the he fixes everything. His word is just that powerful. We have the opportunity to use that power. Don't waste it. Learn his word. Do it. Be a man. I'm charging you each to be a man. I'm not just talking about courageous, because like I watched the movie and they said, oh, be a courageous. That was a good movie. But they didn't tell you how to be a courageous man. They didn't show you the Bible verses. You got to go in there and know them yourself. This book is full of gold nuggets. It said his word is better than gold. You know, when we get to the heaven is coming, we're going to get to go there. And it's beyond our imagination. It's so great. Paul went there and saw it, and he said, whoa, man. He said, I can't, it's unspeakable. I can't even understand it all. It was so great. I'm ready to go now. But God said, I can't. He said, he came back for me to bring you all in. Streets of gold. The river of life. The tree of life. And it's sitting there, and it's going to have fruit. Didn't say what kind of fruit. Don't care. I'm going to get to eat it. Amen. If you're there, you're going to get to. Hallelujah back, brother. Yes, sir. Because it is a hallelujah. I love Brother Jerry. I was saying glory. Because glory to God. He is doing this for you. And if he only took 7 days to make the earth, God is, Jesus said, I'm going back to prepare a place for you. It's been almost over 2,000 years. Woo! If you're taking 7 days to do this, imagine what that is. I can't. You can't get your mind around it. This is where our hope is. This is where we're headed. Read his word. Know him. Know him. Know him. This is what we got to do. Now, brother, I still got more I can do, but I'm going to stop here. I pray that not only I got up here and did this, but I pray that you guys will come up here and do this also. Tell us what you learned. Tell us what you know about them. You know, I always ask them for boldness. Brother asked me when I was nervous when I got up here. I'm like, hey, I ain't got to worry about it. He's going to do the talking. I'm just going to be his vessel. I want you to read those little pass-outs I got you. I'm just going to start off with this. The other is actually something Pastor preached that will help you be more of a man. It will show you which ways you need to go. But I got this off the internet. It says the difference between a boy and a man. It says a boy is a student. Men are teachers. Are you teachers? We need you. We need you to be teachers out here. We need you in our Sunday school. We need you in our church. We need you in our men's prayer breakfast. We need you. Boys are consumers. Men are producers. We make stuff. It says boys play with toys. Men work with tools. This here is the greatest tool you ever have. God's word. You can use a hammer and nail. You can do all that stuff. But if you don't have that tool, don't none of it count. It says, boys break things. Men make things. Boys ask questions. Guess what? Men give answers. That's our job. Our answers. Everything I tell you is right here. My kids all ask me questions. Dad, how come God did that? Read it. Let me tell you what he said. Can you tell him what he said? If not, read it. Because he'll tell you. I teach Sunday school. The kids ask questions. I'll be back with you next week. Let me check it out. I'm not going to give you my answer. I'm going to give you God's answer. It says, boys are disruptive. Men bring order. Boys running games. Men organize teams. Boys play house. Men build homes. Boys shack up. Men get married. Boys make babies. Men raise children. That's what I love about you guys. Y'all raise children. Amen? It says a boy will raise his own children. A man will raise his and somebody else's. Boys invent excuses for failure. Men produce strategies for success. Boys look for someone to take care of them. Men look for someone to take care of. Boys are present-centered. Men are time-balanced, having knowledge of the past, the understanding of the present, and a vision for the future. That's what we're supposed to have. That's why we're going to heaven. That's why we know where we're headed. Boys seek popularity. Men demand respect. Boys are up on the latest. Men are down on the greatest. Okay? The greatest is Jesus Christ, who died for us. I praise the Lord for this. Now, I should read all this. I want you guys to read this. Pastor actually preached this lesson not long after he first came to us. And I kept all these words because they meant something to me. They were things that helped me to grow and change. Let me see. I forgot what it was called. I love that message. The word-filled believers. That's what we have to become as men. We have to be filled with the word. Now, I'm going to stop there. I don't know where I got this from. Well, yes, I do. But, men, we need you. The world needs you. Christ put you here for a reason. You know, Pastor, I disagree with you when you say, you know, I'm not, what do you tell everybody? Somebody says, I don't deserve, I'm not, how do you say that? You don't deserve. Doing better than I deserve? I got it wrong. I got it different. Because God gave me everything I got. So I got everything, but I'm not always asking him. I could have more. He promises you more. That's his word. He gives you peace. He gives you understanding. There are so many things we don't ask for. I'm going to be ashamed when I first go up there. How many crowns you got to throw? How many crowns you got to throw? Because he said we're going to throw our crowns at his feet. We have to have crowns to throw at his feet. I may have some. You may have more. But I want to have crowns to throw at his feet. I want to praise him. I want to make, you know, we're his trophies. You know, if you ever won a game and you get a little trophy, hey, look what I did. That's what we are to God. Praise the Lord. You gonna be a Job? 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 You gonna be a... Pick my man Job. Pick my man Cedric. Pick my man John. David, Mike, John, Jerry, Pastor. You thought I was gonna miss you, didn't you? Matt, Gavin, John, Joe, Barry. I want to be that. Be the one that says, I want to see your glory, God. Show me. He will. Well, let's close in prayer. Or are we going to do a prayer where everybody pray? Just me? Heavenly Father, we come before you as men of your choosing. We want to be men that glorify you, that praise your name. We want to be men that leads our families to you. Lord, please. I mean, we have sicknesses. We have all sorts of giants, like I said before. We have financial matters. People are moving. People are doing different things, Lord. We pray that you would just show your glory, show your blessings on them, Lord. We're blessed every day that we get up. Every time I open my eyes, I say, thank you, Lord. That's before I even get out of bed. That's before I can even put my glasses on to see. Lord, I thank you for these men. I pray you continue to strengthen them. Help us to know you and do your will. Help us to grow and change. Help us to be ready when you come again. Help us to get others ready when you come again. Because your word is true. You said you're coming again, so we know it. It's not even a guess, a doubt. So Lord, please, have us ready. Give us boldness to tell others about you. Give us strength to help our families, to lead them in the right direction. Give us strength, Lord, for our church, for your church. This is not even our church. This is your church. This is just a building. These are your people. Strengthen them, God. Tomorrow when you have services, I pray that you bless every service that we have here, Lord. Bring someone that doesn't know you to you. Let us not speak from what we have to say, Lord, but let your word be glorified. Lord, please, in your name, help us to grow and change. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.